Services, Blavazzi at boo1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 306. I'm Adam, and sod the quotes, here's Debbie Melrose.
Jamie, remind me to give you a lesson in tying knots sometime.
Hang on, I thought of one.
We will survive.
Mary Lang.
Go down, Toberman.
Come? Trust you to pick that one out. Jeff Waddle says, I can't see anything but can hear Kirby doing his chair act, hair share drag act. Don't know why you can't see anything. Surely everybody can see. Can't you not see me, everybody? I'm here.
I can see you.
Who else have I not mentioned? Matthew Kressel.
So that's why you attacked the moon base.
Very good.
And Kirby Butler Sloan.
You might almost say they've had a complete mental breakdown.
Oh.
Come on, it wasn't that bad. Yes, this week, once again, looking at Tomb of the Cybermen, but no.
I've never seen it.
Tomb
of the Cybermen. Tomb. If you've got a cold, Tomb of the Cybermen. Slightly different context to the other times we've looked at the episode.
Why?
Because we haven't watched it in order of broadcast, so we haven't actually. This is an ongoing story, if you like, isn't it?
Okay.
We just dipped into it and came out again, whereas this is the continuing story. This takes us straight on from Evil of the Daleks and the Kondori. The story continues. That's good. I like that, Kondori. So I better get on with that. I've got it on DVD here, which is Blu-ray, a DVD playing on Blu-ray, so I can actually skip through the episode itself. Mind you, not the. How do I get the subtitles up? That won't work. Right, we're to begin with the title sequence. And it's really weird with that, Andy, isn't it? Yeah, so basically the Doctor and Jamie give Victoria a quick tour of the console room. Yeah, a very echoey console room.
Because I what think are all these knobs?
That's you lot, basically.
That's what she said.
Well, that's what Deb said, anyway. Yes, not very pretty, wouldn't you? I don't think the women in this podcast would appreciate how pretty that Deborah Watling
she was. She was lovely, absolutely lovely.
Oh, the camera loves her.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so they land on a planet, Telos, I believe. Is it Telos?
Telos.
Yes, it's Telos.
I will tell you when I've finished doing this link.
Which apparently is the name of the city as well.
Okay. There's a bunch of archaeologists, some with dodgy American accents, and arrive, and they've sort of found.
Considering that some of them were actually American, they.
I was about to say. Well,
yeah.
Not many of them.
Two of them, definitely.
Two of them, yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Oh.
Yeah, so they I think they blow something up and find the entrance to the so funny how melodramatic Kaftan is in this
story. Yes. Do you notice how they're all looking in one direction, looking very disappointed that they didn't find what they were looking for, and then that guy points an entirely different direction and goes, oh look!
I wonder if he was wearing or this is black and white, I just wonder if he was wearing a red shirt when
probably that one, yeah.
Yeah, I think they should most of them be wearing red shirts.
Then the Doctor and Jamie and Victoria turn up and get the blame for the bloke getting electrocuted.
Actually, it looks like those two that I thought were American were not.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that
well,
I think
George
some point,
Rubicek, who plays the captain, is American. So.
No, he's from Austria.
Oh, is
yes,
he?
Of course he is.
Yes.
Matthew's wrong as well. Get in. You saw it here first on the 20 Megabyte Podcast page.
I thought he was too, and then I just double checked he was born in Austria.
Huh.
Yes. Anyway, nobody.
Oh,
said
that's
it.
Right. He was one of the voices on Monkey.
Oh, was
I
he?
I forgot about that.
Nobody's actually said they can see me yet.
I've said it.
You're not supposed to be watching, Debbie. Pay attention.
No, I'm actually watching.
I gave up. After last week, I discovered I could not concentrate on dealing with the podcast.
Oh, because you lost the quiz.
Watched it.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so the doctor sort of advises them not to go into the tomb a little bit before getting very excited when they actually go into the tomb, and sort of manipulating certain situations, and then he realises at some point that they've sort of got a really good chance of waking up the Cybermen. But it's a really good bit of that. I love the graphics.
Planned this whole thing all along.
Maybe so. But I love the graphics. You know, they've got that big wheel thing with all the sort of symbols on it. Yes?
Master?
Yes.
Why does a logical people like the Cybermen like to decorate this entire city with images of themselves?
It's kind of like an ego thing, you know. It's like, oh, this wall's a little boring. Let's put our image all over it. Oh, these tables, chairs. Let's just go for it.
Because they say afterwards, you know, it's a big all along. It's a trap to get the inquisitive human beings to eventually come and find them. So I'm wondering,
it's a big flag, basically, saying we are Cybermen and we are here, as if really most humans
are here. You found us. Keep going.
Yeah, but yeah. As if most humans would really want to go and find them. You know, if you judge by their history, you know, why they would want.
I did get at ConGT. I did get a very nice sticker of that head graphic and put it on my little Windows tablet.
Did you?
Yep, as did I, and I have it on my laptop, which I'm using at the moment. So, unfortunately, idiot me put it on upside down.
Yeah, sweet. Anyway, Ashley can see me. Anyway, moving on. So Cleeg is a bit of a loopy chap, isn't he?
Slightly.
Yeah, he's sort of, again, he's manipulating the rest of the archaeologists, because him and Kaftan are, you know, got a sort of ulterior motive. Then we have the bloke from Planet of the Spiders, who's slightly manic.
Yeah, Toby Haydock's favourite actor, Cyril Schaffs.
Yes. And then Victoria steps in the revitalising machine, which is quite amusing.
I didn't like that.
At all.
And then a Cyberman appears. It's not actually the Cyberman, though. It's a sort of mock-up Cyberman, which is there just for Cybermen to shoot at a Cyberman. A bit weird. Pardon me. Right. So.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Oh, yeah, he gets done in, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. If I may.
Yes, you may.
To make my obligatory Big Finish reference.
Obligatory.
For this episode.
Yay!
There's an entire Tom Baker Big Finish audio called Return to Telos, which is set during this scene that we're talking about right here. Big Finish figured out a way to squeeze an entire story out of this one scene.
Excellent.
I have a message from Anandi Unni. If you're on the 20 megabyte page,
as
I say. So say we all.
Well, actually says, might join later at pub for dinner.
Oh, God.
Get your priorities right, Mr.
You'll
Millie.
Fall asleep.
Yes. Yeah, between beer and food, yeah. Mm.
Anyway, moving on. Yeah, so at this point, obviously, it's like a firing range, isn't it? This thing. I don't know why a Cyberman would use a Cyberman as something to fire at. They find these little Cybermats on the floor. They're cute, aren't they? You cute Cybermats.
I hope everyone enjoyed the one that Louisa created for me.
Oh, yeah, it was lovely. Yes.
That was wonderful. Nice. I'd love one of those.
Hey?
I'd love one of them.
Would you? Yeah, she's hinting.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I've lost connection. I'm back again.
Master, did you see it?
I did see it, yes.
Okay.
It's gorgeous.
I said it was very good. Pay attention. Anyway.
I am paying attention.
Yeah, so I'm just skipping through. Basically, the plan is to open up the hatch. And they do. Yes, they open up.
You're going all. You're doing a play all instead of episode to episode.
I am episode to episode, I think. So Cleeg's really excited when they find this thing, and somewhere along the line they press the thaw out button, and that's that very iconic bit of footage of the Cybermen sort of pushing out through these plastic sheets,
cling wrap,
all with their logo
wrap,
on.
Yeah.
starting at the story, that they have to do this with practically every Cyberman story.
Yep.
Jeff Wardle says, oh, it's working now. Mary, put some clothes on. Alan T. Butcher, he says, are you in the dark wearing black? What do you mean? If so, I can see you. That's silly. And then Jeff Waddle says, we interrupt this program. It disconnected me, this thingy. So if you can't see me anymore on Facebook, I do apologise. But if you can, please let me know. All four of you, three of which are probably on the show at the moment. Anyway, right.
I can't see you anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so Klee gets his gun out and threatens the others, because obviously once they thaw out the cyber tombs, one of them, I can't remember, the commander with the beard said, oh, no, switch it back off again, or on again, or whatever, and they refreeze them. And then they thaw out very quickly, as we said. Very quick freezing and thawing mechanism on this cyber tomb. It's just the reason why I did that, so they could actually play this bit of footage twice, because obviously it cost them quite a lot of money to set up this particular special effect.
Yeah, they built a massive set. I think Elf Street.
They rewind it as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they rewind it. Yeah, they really got some good use out of that clip, because they used it again later on in the story.
It's gorgeous. It's nice to actually see a big set like that, rather than sort of the pictures, you know, background pictures and maybe a bit of animation or model use. No.
Right.
It's very good. So all the Cybermen climb out and...
Now, most of the story was recorded in Lime Grove D with a little bit of Ealing and then good old Gerard's Cross Sand and Gravel Pit, which has seen four stories.
What, four stories high?
Yes, Tomb, Dominators, The Twin Dilemma, and Attack of the Cybermen.
Okay, I wish I hadn't asked that question now. Anyway, so meanwhile, Kaftan has got Victoria at gunpoint, and Victoria does a little yelp, and there's a great shot of the Cyberman jumping up on, sorry, Cyber Matt jumping up onto Kaftan's shoulder.
Going for the jugular.
And the little string, which obviously they had it on the shoulder and pulled it off, yanked it off, and they reversed the film. Worked really well. She's quite, what's the word for it? Victoria, she's able to sort of take over situations really quite quickly. Her character's obviously a lot stronger than she's made out to be, I think. You know, she's quite clever and stuff. Anyway, there's the big opening of the big door where poor old cyber leader has been sat on the toilet for all this time. finds out.
It did feel like that, didn't it?
There's lots of these funny noises. Sort of noises going on.
That happens several times in the story. It's
strange. They're all sort of going ooh and ah, aren't they?
Cant and ah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Klieg immediately says, right, I will help you, I will be your leader. And the cyber leader grabs him and hurts his little pinky's hand, or whatever you call it. And that essentially is the end of episode.
Master.
Yes.
I find the cyber leader, or cyber controller, actually, to look strange because he doesn't have his handlebars.
Right.
Okay. I've got a post from Matt McClure. It says, another unavailable post. What is this? How can you not see a live streaming within a Facebook group you're actually a member of? I don't understand this. He must have some strange setups on his account, Matt.
You're
Mac
McHugh. No, you're still going.
I know, but you can see me. Yeah.
I can see you perfectly. Yeah.
But Matt. Well, what?
All she has to do is go across the backyard or something.
Shut up. No, Mac McClure. That's a difficult name to make. Debbie, can you say Mac McClure?
Mac McClure.
How can you say it? And I can't. Anyway, he's just posted that. He did that last time we went live. He posted that the post was unavailable. So I don't know what's going on there. Jeff Waddle says he pulled it off. That's what she said. Anyway, moving on. So there's a bit of a conference between the Doctor and his friends and the cyber leader and his little buddies. Meanwhile, there's a bit of sexism going on between the American characters and Victoria, who doesn't like being called Vic. But they still carry on calling her Vic anyway.
Yes.
Jamie... So they try to get out, don't they? I think Jamie does get out, and then there's a point in which the hatch is closed, and the doctor tries to get out. He's the last one out and gets grabbed by Simon. Oh, what now?
Oh, you missed the tossing of Toberman.
I beg your pardon?
This nice cable. The nice cable is coming out of his back.
Yeah, I know. Yes. You can see the actual Kirby wire coming out. The Kirby wire.
Yes, it is a Kirby wire.
Yes.
I remember a few weeks ago, certain doctor
Colin Baker
talking to us, this liked the fact that my name Kirby was clips. That.
Yeah, the same as Kirby wire. Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the bit, there's a bit when the doctor's trying to get Jamie to explain when he's fiddling with all the knobs and the walls hypnotising people and things like that. And he says, everybody who wants to can leave the room, and Jamie starts walking out.
Yeah, not you, Jamie. Doesn't he sort of say it without looking at him and sort of just knows that full well he's going to be walking out? Kaftan and Klieg have been locked in a sort of room where there's a gun.
Where there's a gun, yeah.
So, naturally...
Good thinking, Doctor.
They shoot a hole in the wall and realise that that's quite a useful little gun. At the same time, the Cybermen are programming these cyber mats to do some dastardly deeds. And then after that, they're all keeping watch, aren't they, the whole team. So it's Victoria's turn. The Doctor sort of wakes up and nearly gets shot by Victoria. And then they have that lovely little scene together, which is quite... iconic the history of Doctor Who.
Yeah, and there's nobody beautiful. In the universe who can do what we're doing.
Mm.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Being attacked by Cybermats, yes.
Yeah, really.
I love the way that when the Cybermat falls over, it tries to right itself and it falls back over again. And you can see the little foam zigzags on the side of it as well.
I remember when we showed this at the first Conquistorbus in 2012, and there's that Cyberman, as you say, who's trying to right itself, and it can't, and there was a collective, aww.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when it's on its side, its little tentacles are twitching as well.
Some of those were radio-controlled, obviously, and some of them were little
they were pulled
back
along.
And release.
Yeah. So Klieg, anyway, comes out with his gun and... says he's going to shoot the Doctor or something like that. He's got a plan to kill the Doctor, so he shoots his gun and shoots one of the American characters in the shoulder. But why didn't he then straight away missed, I'll try again.
He's just trying to intimidate people.
No, he wanted to kill the Doctor. He said in the few scenes leading up to that that he was going to kill the Doctor, so he goes to tries to shoot the Doctor, misses with just one shot, and didn't sort of follow it through with the which he could easily have done. I beg your pardon?
Just Kirby.
So the Cybermen have decided that they're going to have a sleep for a little bit. I can't remember why.
Conserve energy.
Conserve energy.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Right. Toberman.
This is why I'm saying that Debbie is going to win.
Ow, I just hit my heel. That really hurt.
Just don't have another cramp.
Be quiet. I've lost the plot now. Oh, yes, so Toberman's now sort of on the side of the Cybermen. He's been slightly sort of conditioned.
Cyberized.
Pardon?
Cyberized.
Conditioned, Debbie. By some zigzags. Very cool zigzags, actually.
They were brilliant, weren't they?
But Kaftan, who obviously is quite fond of Toberman, doesn't sort of realise what's going on.
That's a rather dodgy relationship there.
Yeah. He's very strong.
Yeah. There's a lovely scene as well that when the Klieg sort of says to the doctor says to Klieg about being ruler of the world and stuff like that, and he sort of comes through that sort of long scene and says, yeah, well, now I know you're mad, all right, at the end of it.
Yeah, really. I'm just cool. Trying to find out if you were really mad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's lots of fighting between Toberman and the cyber leader with all this sort of shaving foam in his chest and stuff like that. And the cyber leader seems...
Yes, Mary Whitehouse very angry at them.
Did it?
Yes. Of course,
don't she like shaving foam? Anyway, so... Yeah, I've lost the plot now. You put me right off there.
There is a clip.
He seems to die about three or four times.
On YouTube, actually, of Kit Pedler, I think it is, going on a BBC TV program with... It's not Mary Whitehouse, but it's a group of Mary Whitehouse supporters. And basically debating this scene and its the relative merits of Doctor Who in general.
I wonder if it's on the two-disc set, DVD set, that I don't have. Because my DVD is the older DVD.
Yeah, I have the two-disc version. It's not on there, bizarrely. But I know that the footage exists because they feature it very briefly in the More Than 30 Years in the TARDIS documentary. And the audio of it is on one of the Doctor Who at the BBC releases. I think it's, I can't remember if it's Volume 2 or Volume 3.
And, Adam, you're watching this as a Blu-ray?
No, I'm watching a DVD of it, but it's on a Blu-ray.
Oh, using a Blu-ray player. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, as I was trying to say, that the cyber leader seems to die about three or four times.
It's a cyber controller.
Oh, shut up.
There is a difference. Like,
there's a big difference between them.
All right, whatever.
Cyber leader is excellent.
Whatever.
It also has black handlebars, whereas the cyber controller has no handlebars.
There you go.
By the way, hang on, did he not? Was there not a point in which. So, was the cyber controller. Was his chest unit on his back or something? It was all going very quiet.
I'm not sure.
I don't think he has a chest unit.
Well, was that not the cyber controller that. No, it's just a cyberman. Sorry, the cyberman has a fight with the cyberman, not the cyber controller. And all the shaving foam comes out of the chest. So, yeah, that was my mistake.
That was a different one, yeah.
Yes, okay. Anyway, just like an update. Jeff Wardle says Tomb of the Cybermen and they forgot to pay their bills, resulting in tombs being pitch black. The thing is, that I think you need to reset something. Because people are seeing this. So if you're not seeing it, there's something wrong with your machine.
Tomb, it may concern. You are having an issue with your machine, not my machine.
I can't actually message back to them. Actually, maybe I can by the Mac.
How does the cyber controller manage to live without his chest unit?
Maybe he's got it all in his big brain cone thing.
Now, he does have a thing on the back of his head. Maybe that's where it is.
Excuse me. Yes?
Yeah.
I'm just typing. Most people have vision. Hang on, this is awkward. I'm trying to do a podcast here. Including me. There we go. I just typed it in. Most people have video, including me. There we go. Toberman, the Doctor sort of manipulates Toberman into killing himself, really, to save them. And then at the end realizes, get away, Toberman, you get killed. But he's determined to finally kill the cyber controller by shutting the doors and electrocuting him. But he does come back sometimes. It didn't really work, but it did kill poor old Toberman.
Then that Cybermat right at the end.
Yes. It didn't mean anything, though, in the end. So. And the way they trudge.
Well, maybe the idea was that the Cybermen were to never come back again.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. I'm just typing reset your browser.
Getting very distracted by them not being able to see.
Browser. I can't
see. Which is rather ironic since this is an audio podcast.
Yes.
Wow, they're going to be sitting there watching black screens. I mean, what's the point? Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. They might as well just listen to it live on the feed. Right, then I'll show you what I think of this story, yes?
Yes.
I seem to like it more times I watch. I've watched this loads of times. I think it's probably one of the most watched Doctor Who stories I've got, and that's why surprises me a little bit that Mrs. Lovely Melrose hasn't watched it at all.
No, I've never had.
Yeah, how'd you manage that?
I just haven't.
I bet she didn't even know it existed in video. She'd probably watched the reconstruction on. Loose Cannon, which must exist. Well, imagine Loose Cannon made a reconstruction, or maybe not.
Well, Loose Cannon didn't start up until the late 90s, so by that point, this was already known to exist.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I didn't find any reconstruction.
I'm being facetious, Debbie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, yes, I love it. It's just brilliant. There's a few silly little things you can take the mickey out of, but on the whole, it's just atmospheric, iconic, brilliantly acted. Just wonderful. What did you think then, Debbie, as you've never seen it before?
I liked it, but I wouldn't say I loved it. I know, isn't it awful?
That's what I felt like when I first saw it, funny enough.
Exactly, but I could see that I'd quite happily go back and watch it again. Really would.
You'll have to, because
I will.
After a while, it will become one of your favourites.
I'm sure it does feel like it will, you know, it does, but my initial watching is like, yeah, I wasn't as into it as I was the last one. And,
so you've only watched it the one time?
Yes.
Well, hang in there, Debbie. I haven't spoken yet.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
I thought it was fun, but I know it seems really silly to say about Doctor Who, but I did find some of the characters cliched. And
oh, really?
Yeah. I know. Flogging the dead horse here. Yeah. But
pardon me.
I like the idea. I thought the Cybermats were unnecessarily cute. I like the description of them being a rock at first, but
a fossil.
Yeah. It was interesting to see a different dynamic and bring in the idea of what the Cybermen can do to humans, as well as not just the mind control, you know, adapting the arms thing that they did. And it was nice to see a bit of special effects like that as well, with the thought patterns going through. But yeah, so some of the idea of humans deliberately going to find the Cybermen to wake them up, to help them take over the world, knowing what they've done to the world, tried to do to the world in the past, it just didn't sit really well with me. That but then again, humans are like that. We sort of all just go, oh, water under the bridge, let's try it again, and doesn't work, let's defeat them again and see what happens. So I'm expecting to see them again.
You are expecting to see the Cybermen again?
Oh, yes. Wow. A fair number of times, I'm sure. But, yes.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, Debbie, but...
No. I love the effects when they were throwing people around with the wires. It was very reminiscent of that one with the fish people.
The dummy that Toberman tosses at one point.
Dummy?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, across the control room, isn't it?
Yes.
Whose head comes off, but somehow he manages to get up and come out again.
Well, no, maybe the head ended up being handles.
That's true. Oh, no. Because handles actually has handles.
That's true, yeah. I was speaking to my dad about it last night, and he remembers this one. And I was saying to him how Patrick Troughton is just becoming more and more up there, up my list of favourite doctors. He's very close behind Tom Baker for me now, and Tom Baker's my favourite doctor. So it's interesting to watch again, and so he had some marvellous lines in this. You know, I'm falling more and more for this version of the Doctor than anything else. But I did feel that I didn't adore this story immediately like I have done pretty much with all the others. So it's nice to actually watch something that is probably going to be a slow burner, but as you say, and as I know a lot of people do think, it's one of their favorites. So I'm hoping that I'll watch it again quite soon and will really enjoy it a lot more.
Thank you. Sorry, I got slightly distracted then because Robert Haynes has said he can see the video, but he can't hear a thing.
Robert Haynes,
you said he was going to bed.
He'd be in bed. If he's awake, he can come on here.
The funny thing about that is that when he first appeared on the show, we were talking, Robert, Robert. The reason he couldn't hear anything is he didn't have his volume turned up or something like that. So. Okay. Matthew, what did you think?
Well, as I said before we started recording, I haven't watched this since September, but it is one of the stories I will quite frequently go back and sit down and watch when I feel like I'm in the mood to watch a classic series story. It's interesting for me, as somebody who enjoys the history of the show and looking over the show's history, at least within the fandom, that there's a generation of UK fans who absolutely hate this story because they knew it as this great, lost, legendary story, and then it comes back in 1992 and they sit down and watch it and go, oh.
I must admit, that's what I felt like when I first saw it. But like I said, for some reason, I like it more and more every time I watch it.
I think that it's important with these missing episodes. I think today, because we have things like Loose Cannon or the Telesnap reconstructions or the animation that BBC occasionally does, we have a far better idea now than I think we would have had in 1992 as to what these stories will look like. I'm not sure what the image people had in their minds, but having heard the audio version of this, which you can by, still on CD with Licky narrations by friend of the show, Fraser Hines. It sounds fantastic with audio. It actually looks very good visually as well for a story that was made in 1967.
Indeed.
Star Trek looks better.
Oh,
well, Star Trek looks better because it was made on film for one thing, and also it
had a better budget.
Yeah, yeah. Better budget, well, yes.
The average, the Tenth Planet, which is just a few stories before this, was made all in, including the Cybermen costumes and the sets, for £24,000. Compare that with The Cage, which is the original pilot episode of Star Trek, which was made for $600,000. I think the average Star Trek episode cost less than cost somewhere in the immediate vicinity of $100,000. And they were, you know, getting half as much screen time out of an episode of Star Trek, so go figure. But visually it looks interesting. Troughton does very well. I'm with you, Debbie, every time I watch a Troughton story, particularly when I come to the handful of stories of his I haven't seen or heard.
Yeah.
He goes up the ranks a bit. In some respects, as I've argued before, Troughton's Doctor is just as important to the show as William Hartnell's or Tom Baker, because he's the one who has to come in and prove, hey, people will watch somebody else playing this part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The story's plotting has issues to it. I mean, fundamentally, it's a sci-fi version of the Egyptian mummy story, if you really think about it. That's something that is talked about on the special features of the two-disc release.
I need to get that release. Yeah.
Yes, it is well worth it. They went back and they did the restoration work on the episodes from scratch. They applied the Bitfire process to it. It looks fantastic. We don't own the two-disc version. Once you get your
budget, that's the one I have.
I will do. Yeah.
The thing is that the two-disc version came out within 6 months after I bought the one-disc one.
I bought half that one, but I didn't really, wasn't bearing that in consideration when watching it. I was just enjoying the story. But you can see the wires, obviously, much easier with that version of it.
Yes.
It's because we're watching it, and I've said this before about classic series stories, we're watching it on TVs with twice as much definition, and I think the average TV is now twice the size, screen-wise, as you would have seen it in 1967. And going back to things like
The Dummy. I don't watch it on a TV. I watch it on a computer.
Well, exactly, and the computer screen has even better definition probably than the TV does.
I'm just being pedantic
to the TV.
Well, there's something unusual, isn't it? There's some messages have come through. This is a funny one. It's from Jeff Waddle. He says, "Oh, it's back," mm-hmm. And to prove it, it's Matthew Kress says. I don't think he agrees with you, Matthew. I do though, so that's what counts.
Well, Jeff and I don't agree on very much. It must be said.
I'm looking at it now.
Robert Haynes says, "I do have volume, and Jeff nearly burst my eardrums with the beep from his post." Carry on, sorry.
It is a bit cliched in places. I mean, as I said, it's a sci-fi version of the Egyptian mummy story. Yes, the characters are cliched, and there's stuff in there that doesn't make sense. I will say, Debbie, you were talking about the logicians and their motives.
Mm.
To make my second obligatory Big Finish reference of the episode, there is a wonderful story with Colin Baker's Doctor, Fraser Hines, and Wendy Padbury called Legend of the Cybermen that was released last year actually goes in and fills in some of the background of the logicians and exactly why they would be so pro-Cybermen. And if you haven't heard it, I recommend it.
I haven't heard that one. I'd like to hear that one, definitely.
It's one of the better Big Finish main range releases in recent memory.
I wish I had time to listen to these Big Finish.
Well, I do that instead of podcast listening. So
I've got a time on my
hands. I don't have time to listen to podcasts anymore.
I'm not teaching a child anymore. She's at school, so I actually am now being able to sit and listen and watch things now.
Go ahead.
It's an interesting story. I think it deserves its iconic status. In fact, I think in the last major DWM poll, it was ranked, I think, the 25th best Doctor Who story of all time. So clearly it being found hasn't hurt its reputation too much, unlike some of the other stories that have been lost and now found. So it's an interesting story, and I think it's well worthy of its reputation.
Thank you. Well,
which ones have gone down since they were found?
You're talking about.
Thank you, Alan, for your feedback. Just letting Alan know he's just asking about his feedback. At least somebody posts feedback. Fear's
reputation has gone down a bit since it was found. Whereas you get something like Enemy of the World, for example, where its reputation's gone up considerably since it was found.
Sorry, what Jeff Wardwell just said, take that back. I like Matthew Kressel's contributions. We are never going to agree on something. I can't say that. Something mayor in silver.
She's swearing, Jen.
Yes.
I'm going to have to go see Jeff's comments now. So.
Oh, it's nothing derogatory. He loves you very much, as do we.
I'm sure it's not, but I just want to read Jeff's comments, because Jeff's comments, even when I don't agree with them, are always humorous.
Yeah, Jeff is brilliant. Some of his comments, some of his posts on Facebook are brilliant as well.
Sorry, you can carry on, Matthew. I was just laughing.
Yeah.
Shut up, Kirby.
I was about done. There are stories where, you know, we've had little or nothing to show for it, and they've either, you know, and reputations go up and down because, hey, this episode's been found, or, oh, we can actually watch an episode of it, or, oh, we can watch the whole story, as was the case when Enemy and Weatherfear were found. Weatherfear's reputation, I've noticed in reading reviews written since it was found, has kind of gone down because people can now watch it and go, oh, well, it's atmospheric, but it's really a bit dull, isn't it? But we haven't got to Weatherfear yet, so at least not in the rewatch.
Soon.
Mm. But anyways, carry on.
Yes, hang on. I was just writing a message to Robert. I suppose we better prepare ourselves.
Hey, what about me?
Wait, you haven't talked to Kirby yet.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you usually put her last.
Do we have to? I'll go on then, Kirby.
Well, I'll be short.
Will you now?
I love this story. Ever since I first saw it, just love the story. That's it.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that, Kirby.
Hooray!
Right, as I was saying, prepare yourselves. It's Mary.
Well, I invite anyone to join in and argue with me. Because I'm sure I'm going to be, you know, up against all of you with this one. You know, we've all watched these reconstructed and telesnap episodes and said, oh, this looks fabulous. Oh, I wish we could see the real thing. You know, we think that these are going to be such fabulous stories. Well, Tomb of the Cybermen, as Matthew said, is one that was held really high up in esteem until it was actually found and released. And I can see why, because I think this is like one of the dumbest scripts that they've done with Troughton, at least so far. Of course, we haven't seen the Dominators yet, but I was finding myself talking back at the screen constantly saying, what? Are you kidding? This makes no sense. And why are you doing that? You know, this is only going to, you know, this is so obviously the wrong thing to do, or who are you? This is such bad acting. You know, so I was rather vocal while watching this. But let me pose this. I'm suspicious that there was an adventure with the TARDIS and the Doctor and Jamie and Victoria before they landed on Telos. Because some
landed
of the
where? Telos? Telos.
At the beginning. Just make no sense, unless they've been somewhere else before this. One thing is the Doctor turning to Victoria and saying, well, how do you like us so far? You know, like, but she's only, if they came right from the last episode, that she's only been in there 5 minutes. How can she know?
And her father's only been
I
dead.
I think a lot of the time, her father is dead, and, you know, and her life
I think
is
a lot of the time it is implied that they do other adventures, and we're sort of dipping in and out of the adventures. I mean, they seem to have been doing it a bit more with the Second Doctor, and they were sort of doing it with the First Doctor every now and then. They'd mention something, but it was, yeah, it becomes sort of, they become a bit more sort of spoon-feeding the fact that they're doing other things, sort of in New Who especially, you know, and they're referencing things all the time. But I think this is really the start of it becoming a little bit more obvious that there are other things happening in Doctor. I just sort of took it as read that they'd obviously done something already, been somewhere. Okay.
Because Jamie makes the comment that he hasn't had any exercise in a long time, and my goodness, this last episode, he was running, so
he was running, fighting. And
So where did that comment come from? And then I wonder about Victoria and her new clothes. I mean, she went from Victorian era. I mean, she hasn't even gone through, you know, bloomers or anything like that. And how did she know to get into 1967 underwear? I mean, who helped her with that?
It's a bit,
unless, you know, even
Jane, she's not wearing any.
Yeah, but the thing is, doesn't
so she obviously is wearing a bra.
The doctor sent Jamie off with her to find her something to wear, so it's his fault.
No, but does Jamie know anything about bras and women's underwear?
Well, after he wears a skirt.
He studied them in that cafe bar, didn't he? The coffee bar that they went to.
Yes.
Okay, but I just wonder, like, is there a guidebook in the TARDIS wardrobe that tells you about how to put on, you know, the clothes of a different century? I don't know. That was
this is like the most unlikely conversation about Doctor Who I think I have ever had.
Obviously, you haven't been on the show for a while, then, Matthew.
That is a point.
But anyway, the only thing she was worried about was the shortness of the skirt, and I'm thinking, but everything else about what you're wearing is so alien to you. How could the shortness of the skirt be the only
shoes.
Thing that bothers you?
Yeah, the shoes and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, the shoe, everything, everything. Okay, now if this is supposed to be an expedition by logicians, and I don't know who among the group are. From that, if it's just Klieg or Klieg and what's her name, Kaftan?
Yeah, Kaftan and sort of Toberman.
Yeah, Toberman sort of, yeah.
Toberman? Part of the
Toberman's sort of the henchman for Kaftan, so
yeah.
It's safely assumed he's in the employee of the logicians at least. He's probably
but
not.
I have to say, this is the most bumbling, stupid group of people to happen upon something that is supposed to be testing, you know, their amazing intelligence and ability to logic their way through, you know, traps and puzzles. Because, I mean, right from the very beginning, they can't figure out how to get in. The first guy dies, you know, trying to get in. And if it hadn't been for the doctor coming along to figure out how they could get in, they wouldn't even have made it that far. But once in, you know, even with some tremendous amount of, you know, good luck in finding out that they could get in, and they got in, without the doctor, they'd be bumbling around inside that big room, you know, playing with levers and buttons, and they'd have no idea how to activate anything. Mm. Okay, and then here's the other thing that doesn't make sense to me, is, okay, the doctor, I would think he would arrive to stop some horrible thing that's about to happen. Nope. This doctor shows up to show them how to do it.
Yep.
He shows up to make it happen.
Yeah,
so
come on, we're going
to
do this. Come on.
Yeah, really, don't touch that. Because, you know, if you do touch it, this and this and this will probably happen. Let me show you.
Let me show you how this works.
They wouldn't have gotten anywhere. The doctor's mission would have been accomplished by just showing up, saying, okay, this stupid group of people will never find their way through. We're out of here.
Yeah, but there wouldn't have been much of a story.
Them, you know, get into all this trouble.
Mm. Well, that's the doctor for you. That's why he got in. He was put on trial at the end. Oh, you shouldn't be saying that, should I? Anyway, are you done?
No, my goodness.
Good Lord. I'll sit back then.
I want to know what the Cybermen's plan was. You know, they're asleep in this tomb. They're waiting, you know, for somebody to figure out how to let them out, because they obviously don't know how to get out on their own. And even when Klieg decides that, oh, well, you know, we could probably operate these things, you know, in order to get out of here, why didn't the Cybermen know that? Because once that little hatch closes, they're trapped. There's no way. All they know to do is bang helplessly on the hood, and nobody lets them out. And then after they've been through all of this horrible, scary stuff with the Cybermen and that hatch being... How confident are they that those Cybermen aren't going to figure a way out, that they can all lay around and sleep? It's like, wait a minute, you guys are not safe. But there they thought they could just lay around and sleep, and I thought
they weren't allowed back at the ship. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just that one guy saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to let you go. I mean, there were more of them than there are of him. They could have overpowered him and gone back to the ship.
And then then they wouldn't have been able to fix the fuel lines. It's all explained.
The ship apart to get it done.
Be stuck.
Right.
Then the doctor could invite them into the TARDIS and take them back to wherever it is that they needed to go. He's done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to know, if the Cybermen are waiting for someone to be that intelligent, that logical, to work through the puzzles and dangers to get down to them, because they want intelligent subjects to convert to Cybermen, why did they pick Toberman to convert?
They thought because he was powerful.
They caught him.
Yeah.
Well, they're already powerful. The cyber leader is already powerful. So
there's something that's lost in the scripts, between the script and the screen, which is that Toberman was supposed to have already been somewhat cybernetically enhanced and had a couple of implants already.
Right. The reason he doesn't say a lot is he's deaf. He has a hearing aid.
But he had no hearing aid.
Well, he's supposed to, and it was in the scripts, and it was in the Target novelization, but it got lost in translation between the script and the screen. And so there's a bit of subtext that gets lost there. But I had always... I was like you, Barry. I was like, well, why did they pick him? And then when I read it later, it was like, okay, that makes more sense. Why couldn't you have actually said that on screen?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Cybermen want to increase their ranks by using human subjects, but they're killing everybody off. So they're defeating their own, I guess, plan, if they had a plan. But then what do? They just turn around and go back into their little cubby holes and go back to sleep. So, I don't know. It just, everything that was going on. And then the doctor tells...
she continues.
Doctor tells someone, you know, guard that door. And then everybody turns around and sits with their back to the door. It's like... And if they're so, if Klieg and Kaftan are such evil people, why do they leave them alone in a room with a laser gun to continue their plotting, you know, and while the doctor's just sitting around talking to Victoria, you know, he has a nice interchange with Victoria, but I'm yelling at the screen, what about Klieg and Kaftan in that other room? Anyway, so I think this is like one of the dumbest things that has been put to script and screen, and I wait for it to be outranked by the Dominators.
So you liked it then, Mary?
I liked it in that I got really worked up about it.
Another thing about Toberman is you don't know that he, just because he's not very vocal, doesn't mean he's not intelligent. I mean, you saw his nice knowing smile when they're all talking about the destruction that he went and did on the rocket.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know he did that, yeah.
He doesn't talk a lot.
Well, okay, here's another thing. Klieg can't figure out how to do the buttons and the switches, but the supposedly American guy from the ship comes in, and he's doing the smartest thing around. He's pulling out the power.
Yeah.
And he's pulling the thing out and figuring out where the wires go, so what operates what.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, who's the smartest guy in the room?
Well, that's the difference between an engineer and an archaeologist as well, because Klieg is supposed to be an archaeologist, so he obviously doesn't want to damage the thing. Where the
Robert can hear. Robert can hear, everybody. Hello, Robert.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Robert.
Sorry, carry on. Oh, no, you're wrong.
So, I mean, I have more, but I'll stop it there.
So you're going to save it for the next time we watch 2 Minutes Over?
Yes, the next time around.
I'm rather exhausted after that. Thank you, Mary.
With two feeds, that means it's going to be harder to match up the watching...
Hang on, there's not two feeds. The other one, Facebook crashed, so it stopped the feed, so I've had to set up a new one.
But that's what I'm saying. It means that... To watch along with the podcast when the podcast comes out later, we'll have to do two different.
I don't know if anybody would actually do that, Kirby, but obviously they didn't mind.
You're the one who suggested it.
No,
last
I didn't.
Week.
I suggest that people watch this live actually on the website. What's it called again? The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
You suggested after you posted the podcast that people then watch the replay.
I don't know if it would work. I don't know if it would synchronize correctly, but they could try.
You'd have to fiddle with it, yes.
I bet you do. I'm talking about the podcast at the moment. Anyway, we have some feedback. I'm just sending it to our resident feedback reading person. Now, Debbie, you'll have to do this in a Welsh accent.
No.
Not like that. No.
No. Right, hang on a minute. The usual efforts of my iPad. There we go. Ashley Hughes. Hey, it's Ashley. My feedback for Tomb of the Cybermen. One of the best Cybermen stories. 4 episodes wasn't enough, could have been more. When watching Tomb of the Cybermen, all I could think of is Attack of the Cybermen. This story would have been good in colour. Always like this story. Every episode makes you feel that you're there. Victoria was really annoying.
No, she wasn't.
The control panels were pointless. Just have a switch with open or close on it. Did they say why they wanted to find the Cybermen? Must have missed that part. Great listening to the podcast. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Ashley. Got some more?
I know, I'm just waiting for it to come through. Oh, it's Alan T. Butcher.
Yay.
By the way, Robert says you have to do the Welsh accent. Sorry, it's too late now, Robert.
Too late. Sorry, Robert. Yeah. Go to bed, Robert. Dear 20 megabiters, the Tomb of the Cybermen is, of course, a closely studied allegory about the dangers of potential Nazi resurgence. The logicians' attempted revival of the Cybermen, hoodwinking a legitimate expedition to serve their purposes, mirrors neo-Nazi tendencies to attach themselves to mainstream concerns and to develop... There are any commas in this atomistic line of argument to create prejudices which may, on the face of it, make logical sense, whilst in fact being deeply twisted and flawed ideas.
I love you, Alan. Keep it coming, Alan. I love this.
He's doing it on purpose.
Yes.
The Doctor's manipulative attempt to allow the access to the tombs is clearly a call to us. They allow the exposure of these groups by shedding... I think he might have made a spelling error there, sorry.
No.
Exposure of those groups by shedding light upon them to reveal these deep flaws, showing that it is no good to ignore or shut out such groups. They must be confronted. It also teaches us that if there is a big, scary-looking machine, then don't climb into it. If there is a shooting range, try not to get in the line of fire near the end of episode 1. And if a scary monster puts out a welcome cyber map for you, you may be in for a shock. Those are your thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we want more of that sort of stuff. And don't put any punctuation in at all, because it makes it very funny.
Yeah, keep them coming.
Pardon? Anyway, right. Now it's time for this week's edition.
Wait, whoa.
What now?
Can't you go and find Ian's old feedback, even if he didn't send in a new
old
one?
Feedback?
He sent feedback in for the last time you watched it.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you pedantic people. Good Lord. Do you know how many feedbacks he's sent in? And I've got to find one that says tomb. Hang on, I'll just put tomb of the. Oh, that's
I don't know when it was we did that one. I wrote down the numbers, but
yeah, I wish you didn't even consider it. It made life a lot easier for me. Pardon me.
I think it's like number 173.
Oh dear
something.
Me, I've really got wind tonight. All right, I've got I've got Jeff Waddle's feedback from 2013. I've got Dr. Phil's feedback from 2013. Matthew Kressel's feedback.
Dr. Phil's probably talking about the music and the from breaking through the plastic.
If you say so. All right, I've got Ian Koss. Let's try this one. Oh, no, this is a script. Oh, no, here we are.
Hello, 20 minutes.
Hang on, Ian, I wasn't ready for this.
Yeah, what about the theme song?
Oh, shut up, McKirby.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. Saying the Doctor's real name opens his tomb. Could it be Abracadabra?
Wrong tomb.
Then again, Dorian said it.
Bad luck, Kirby.
I can't hear him.
I know, I've stopped it.
I couldn't understand him anyway.
Oh, I do apologise. No, I haven't got anything that's Tomb of the Cybermen wise. Not on this feed, anyway. You'd have to live without it.
No.
Right. Anyway, as I was saying, it's now time for this week's edition of... You won't get this one. I can't believe that way back. I've got a very funny and bad feeling. Shush, I'm talking. I've got a very funny and bad feeling. Debbie, that's she who must be obeyed, Debbie, put my iPad on the side down here. Right? iPad. And then I didn't realise it was there because it's black. So it's what it normally looks like.
Thing about space.
Shut up! Anyway, the audio recording device that's recording you sat on the iPad. You lot have been chiming messages left, right and centre. And every one of those messages has been creating a one of those mobile pulse things on this iPad. So if the recording's buggered up, that's your fault for doing all those silly posts. You might be all right though, because it's on Wi-Fi. But if it has gone wrong, your fault. Yes.
I suggest we rename the quiz.
You suggest? You can suggest all you like. It's not happening.
We will rename the quiz. Debbie will get this one.
Right then. So, Matthew, who do you think will be ahead at the end of the question part of this particular quiz?
Probably Debbie.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, Debbie, who do you think will be ahead at the end of the question? You always make that mistake, don't you?
Oh, you've got more crafty of late.
Have I really? Kirby, yes, who do you think will be ahead?
Debbie.
Okay. Mary, who do you think will be ahead?
You, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And I have put Matthew.
Hey!
Probably a wise choice.
Okay, right, so let's get on with the questionies. Where's my bell? Where's my incorrect button? Right, bell. Oh, here's my bell.
That's what she said.
No need for that. Right, here we go. Right, first question goes to Matthew. This is it. Don't forget to play your jokers. I don't want to spend the whole quiz going, you should have played your joker there. You have a joker, play it. Right then, Matthew, how old
do
are you?
Do we need to explain
to Matthew
about the joker?
Oh, shut up, Kirby! God's sake, I'm trying to do a quiz and you interrupted me.
Yes, I feel like I have missed something since the last time I was on the show.
Yeah, he doesn't know about it.
Right, okay. Matthew. Right, if you've just chosen Debbie as the one that's likely to win the show. If at the head, at the end of the questions, Debbie is ahead, your points are doubled. Because you voted for Debbie, right? You also have a joker. If you play your joker on your question, your points are double for that question. Okay. That's fairly clear, isn't
it? But if you get it wrong, Adam gets double points.
If you get it wrong while playing your joker, I will get the points.
Told you he was crafty.
It's not crafty, it's the game. Okay, right then. Matthew, how old is the doctor?
I know.
450?
Another joker bites the dust. Debbie.
Yes.
How much does Kaftan offer to the first man to open the doors?
Joker.
Yes.
£50.
I just dropped my pen. That's how you play it.
Okay.
Kirby.
Master.
What is the name of the panicky man?
Joker.
Yeah.
Viner.
Joker Vine. He was a bit of a joker too, wasn't he?
Panicky.
Mary.
Yeah.
When the doctor fails to open the doors to the tomb, who tries next?
I know.
Toberman.
That's on my wrong point. Yes, Kirby?
Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's when he flexes his muscles and does the thing about the exercise.
Yeah, enough exercise, yeah.
Right, we come back round to Matthew. Who is the first to enter the tomb?
Is it Cleek?
Here.
Might know. Is it Parry?
Who? Oh, yeah. Correct.
The prof.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
How does the doctor persuade Victoria to enter the tomb?
I think I know.
I'm very quiet.
Is it safer to be with him?
Excellent. Kirby?
It's the whole business. He's complimenting her on how she looks with the skirt.
Correct.
Yep.
What was that? Mary's phone.
Jamie's dress is shorter than Victoria's.
Yes.
Right then. I think Kirby's next.
I am.
I think so. Yeah. What does the Doctor use to unlock some of the gates?
Symbolic logic, of course.
Mary.
Yes?
What is the special technique the Doctor explains to Klieg?
Oh, is that that...
I know.
Boosean logic?
Oh, excellent point. Go on in, Matthew.
I keep my mouth closed, and my, I'll keep my eyes open and my mouth closed.
That's bad. Yeah.
Right. Score update, then. In last place, with no points, Mary. In fourth place with 3 points, Matthew. In third place with 4 points, me. In second place with 5 points, Debbie. And then the lead with 8 points, it's Kirby. Right, this question goes to Matthew. What is the name of the character wearing the checked shirt played by Bernard Holly?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, good lord. Go on then, Debbie.
Is it Hayden?
Debbie.
Yes.
What is the first rule of archaeology?
I know.
Oh, God, I wrote it down. God, I write too many.
Find it.
I know I wrote it down and I cannot see it. Hang on a minute.
Oh, you said no, that's it.
No.
No, that's a point to me. Who said I know? Was it Matthew?
That was me.
Go on in, Matthew.
Everything must be measured and recorded.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Not quite how I had down, but it's near enough. I had written down, nothing should be touched until it has been described and recorded. That's near enough for me.
Yeah, even, no.
What?
Yeah, I found it.
Oh, right. Kirby.
Who, me?
Yeah, you're Kirby, are you not?
Master.
Right, what is the name of the lighting system that never goes out?
Alpha Meson Phosphor.
I like that.
Mary.
Which they referenced in a more modern one, I believe. Oh. At least Alpha Meson.
Anyway, sorry. Jeff Waddles just said, where's Adam Pearson? The bloody absorber off has taken his place. Don't know what he means by that.
What? Who said that?
Jeff Waddle.
My phone keeps going ding, ding, ding. I'm, pay- yeah, I'm not paying attention
to it. Oh, you're using that one, that excuse, are you? I've lost where I was now. Right, there's the next question.
Alpha Meson Phosphor.
Was that a secondary answer or a first one?
That was the first one.
Okay, so therefore, Mary...
Yes.
What does Jamie think the room he is exploring is used for?
I know.
See, this is why Adam. This is why I always bet on Adam, because he always gets all the points. I don't remember.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
I think Kirby said he knows.
I said I know.
Go on, then.
Possibly raising caterpillars.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay,
yeah, I have particular interest in cyber mats nowadays.
Yeah, clearly, you got your own one.
Yes.
All right. What's
you have
one?
To post how to care for it.
Right then, Matthew.
Yes.
It's clay polymer. It just sits on a shelf.
I know, but
it's very nice. But can we get on with the quiz? Right, Matthew. What does Victoria say once she is released from the revitalizer?
That wasn't very pleasant.
You only got one of the words in the sentence correct, so it's going to have to be... Anybody?
Yes.
Go on in.
I know.
Yes.
You said it when we started. I didn't like that very much.
Word for word. Debbie.
Yes?
I studied.
Now, there is...
I didn't. Shut up.
Now,
I just always expect up. I always expect Debbie to spot things I didn't.
Yeah, shut up. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, but I write too many notes.
Anyone more words before I get to read this question out and get points deducted? Oh, good, right. Debbie, now there is a distinct element of risk in what I'm asking you all to do. So if anyone wishes to leave, they must do so at once. What does the Doctor say next?
Not you, Jamie. I love that bit.
Kirby.
Me?
Yes. Oh, goodness.
Master. Yes, you.
What does Victoria think the Cybermat is?
I mentioned this earlier. It's a fossil.
Yeah, I mentioned in my question earlier as well.
Okay. You tried to call it a rock.
No, I meant my question earlier.
Oh.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Never mind. Shut up. Mary.
Yes?
Which Tomb of the Cybermen actor passed away on the 27th of October 2008 in London? I'll give you... I'll let you have who the character was, so... because I'm feeling generous to you now. So you're either the actor or the character.
I didn't know who any of the actors are, so you can go ahead and...
Well, you can guess any of the characters.
Well, I know who the character was.
I know the characters are.
Go on then, who's the character? The character that died, whose actor died on the 27th of October 2008.
And why would we know this?
Shut up, Kirby. Mary? One of the characters in the story?
Pick someone.
Yeah, just pick somebody. Okay, how about Captain Hopper?
Anybody?
Harry? The character was Toberman.
Oh, dear. That's better.
Ding.
I can't think of the actor's name to save my life, which is even
Roy
worse.
Stewart.
Because he,
Robert yeah. just written Cyril Shapps.
Roy Stewart.
Roy Stewart. Yeah.
Right there.
Because he's in one of the James Bond movies.
Okay,
oh,
so...
Really?
Live and Let Die playing Quarrel Jr.
Mm.
Well, to be fair, half the cast of this was in a James Bond movie at one point.
Probably, yes.
So.
Right, score update. In last place, with no points, Mary. In fourth place, with 5 points, it's Matthew. In third place, with 8 points, it's Debbie.
Yes.
In second place, with 9 points, it's me. And in the lead, with 14 points, it's Smarty Pants Kirby. Right, so Matthew has the next question. Which is, when does the expedition leader plan to leave the planet in episode 2?
I think I know.
Good, because you need to come up with points for me to get some points.
Joker.
Yeah, go on then.
At the next opposition.
Oh dear. Anybody else?
I think it's when the North Hemisphere is conjunctioned at 1842.
Precisely.
Go.
Yay. The problem with me being in the lead is that I didn't say me.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Next one. Sorry, according to Hopper, what had some character ballsed up or balled up? I don't know what that actually
the
says.
The fuel pumps have been balled up. Yeah, the fuel pumps have been balled up.
Oh, it is balled up. I thought it said ballsed up. I thought, what's going on?
No, it was balled up, but I was hoping it was ballsed up.
Okay, right then. Did you... Kirby.
Master.
What is Viner sent to get after the hatch opens?
Food?
I know.
Go on in, Matthew.
The Anorax.
Mary.
Yes.
Hang on, just poise my finger.
I assume that means coats.
No, he's talking about Doctor Who fans. Of course he means
coats. Yes, I just don't call them that. I mean, this is the only place I ever hear them called that.
You must have heard of Anorax in reference to Doctor Who fans.
Anorax is a more specific coat. It's usually protective wear, warm and waterproof.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Blimmin Dictionary.
These look like bits of quilt that's had
exactly warmth.
Okay,
there's all sorts of double entendres and innuendo going on off on the thread at the moment, which I can't
I've
read
noticed
until after
that.
The quiz
is finished. I'm not paying any attention to it.
Right, Mary.
Yes,
I'll just pause my icon over the appropriate sound effect.
No.
What?
You're what,
Mary? What should they do in case of trouble? What should they do in case of trouble?
I have no idea.
Anybody?
I know.
Yes?
Contact the rocket.
Right, so score update then. In last place...
I only missed one of mine.
In last place with no points is Mary. In fourth place with 6 points is Matthew. In third place with 11 points is Debbie. And joint first place is me and Kirby.
Woo! Debbie, get better.
I'm trying.
Right, Matthew. Matthew, what choices of food does Kaftan offer Victoria?
I beg your pardon?
What? This is Matthew's question.
Yeah, but you went all broken up.
Yeah, well, I do apologize. Can't understand you.
Well, shut up and listen then. What choices of food does Kaftan offer Victoria? This is Matthew's question.
Oh, this one I do know.
I know chicken is one of the options. Corned beef?
Yeah.
I'll give you a point for chicken, but corned beef is not one of the answers. Mary?
Oh, that's what I was going to say, was chicken.
Oh, okay. Anybody?
Right, give There's three.
There were three, yeah.
It's okay, well, we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go the choice, the three were roast beef, veal, or chicken. So, moving on. Whose question was that for? Was that Matthew's?
Calvin from Robert.
Hello, whose go is it? Was that Matthew's go?
Me, yeah, it's my go.
Right, here's Debbie's go.
Hello.
Who was Kaftan actress Shirley Cooklin married to? You know, get this one.
I know.
Oh.
I think I know.
I don't know.
Point for me. Kirby said I know first.
They made a point of this in one of the extras. She was married to the producer, Peter Bryant.
See, I didn't watch any of the extras. I should have.
There was a great thing. I believe it was at the first public showing after it was after they found it. What's the British Film Institute, I believe,
yes.
Something like that. Yeah, and they had this panel discussion with all these people.
Yeah, it's on the original DVD release. It's called Tomb Watch, but because the rights to that footage are owned by somebody else, it is not on the special edition version. It's
really?
Well, it's because the footage, I think it's owned by Real Time or somebody, and they could not sort out the rights issue.
I'm going to have to buy both now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to interrupt.
A lot of points are covered in the Making Up documentary that's on the...
I missed the... I wish there had been a Making Up documentary on the first one.
Excuse
there wasn't.
Me. Excuse me, I have to interrupt because Jeff Waddle has come up with some of the funniest things. Yes, I'm going to read it out, Debbie. Jeff Waddle says, Mary has no points. That's a shame. I'd like to give her one.
Oh, thank you. You're in there.
Yes, you're all right, Jeff, as long as you look like Paul McGann. Right then. So, next question. Who's that last one for? I've lost my plot with this.
That was for me.
Oh, yes. The next one goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who was the third expedition member to die?
Let's see. So first there was the electrocution at the gate, then there was the thing in the target room. So it would be Viner.
Oh dear, what's going on here? That's better.
You'll have to go back to Disneyland and get another bell.
Yeah.
No, bell's alright. I just missed it. I hit it wrong. I glanced it.
Are you holding the bell up in the video?
No, I'm blooming not. If you want me to, I can't do it all.
I'd like to see it.
Look, there's the bell. No, you're not going to give me any more points.
I don't want to see a bell.
Shut up, Debbie. Right, so the next question goes to Mary.
Yes.
On this point, I'll just point my cursor over the appropriate sound effect again.
Come on, Mary, come on.
And don't forget, you still have your Joker to play.
We all know what that is.
You still got your Joker to play, Mary. Right.
I have to know an answer to play a Joker.
You would have got an extra point for that last one, Kirby, if you said Viner shot by Klieg, but you didn't, so you just got the two. Mary, what... Yes. Are the cyber controller's first words? You won't get this one. That's not what he said. I'm just telling you, you won't get it. So I might as well just pause it. Yeah, carry on. Yeah, so what were the cyber controller's first words?
You will be like us.
Yay!
And.
Really? That was just a wild guess.
It's close enough.
Yeah, she said, you will be like us.
Be like us, yeah.
Yeah, it was essentially, it was, you belong to us, you shall be like us, but that's near enough
for
me.
No, it's more like, you belong to us, You shall be like a star.
All right, thank you, Kirby. Should I not give Mary the points then?
You sixteen, Doctor Who thing.
Hang on, Kirby's implying I shouldn't give Mary the points for that one, so I'll just
cross them out. Please, give her the point.
Oh, she can have them. Right.
I'm being pedantic.
Oh, what a surprise. Right,
well, that's a shock.
Score update. In last place with 4 points, it's Mary.
Yeah.
In fourth place.
I have four?
Yeah, in fourth place with 7 points is Matthew. In third place with 11 points is Debbie. In second place with 16 points is me. And in the lead with 18 points is Kirby. This next question goes to Matthew.
Okay.
Hopper calls Callum by his first name when Victoria threatens to pull all of the levers.
Oh, I know this one.
What is his name?
His name is Jim.
Debbie. He says Jim a lot. Almost every time he refers to him.
Yeah, all right, shut up. Debbie.
Yes.
I've lost where I was. Oh, yeah. What does Hopper take with him down to the tomb?
Smoke bombs.
Kirby.
Master.
How many Cybermen does it take to overcome Toberman?
As many as it takes. No, it's four.
Mary.
Yes.
What poor joke does the Doctor crack when the Cybermats are beaten?
Cybermats what?
If they stop laughing over the question, poor old Mary. Shut up! What poor joke does the Doctor crack when the Cybermats are beaten?
Okay, and here's one of the things that I found interesting, that Jamie, who comes from, what is it, the 18th century, might not have heard anything about this comment, so I'll play my Joker.
You've already played it, you silly woman.
He groaned.
yes, he did.
Completely metal.
Say that again.
They've gone completely mental. Metal.
Oh, that'll do. It's complete metal breakdown. Was it?
Or complete metal breakdown.
You don't get any extra points because you only get to play your Joker.
Jamie groans like he knows what that means.
I'm about 99% sure that the groan is an improvised moment by Fraser Hines because of the way Patrick Troughton reacts at that point. Because he almost flucks right there.
I think we're seeing more of Fraser Hines than we are of Jamie anymore.
So do you think that was not actually scripted?
I think the line was scripted, but not the groan and the way Trump goes, oh, I'm so sorry, Jamie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, Matthew.
Yes.
How does episode 3 end?
With Cleek firing the gun and an extreme close-up on the gun.
Bang.
What?
Matthew,
I said bang.
Over here?
Okay, right. Debbie?
Yeah, I played it and got the wrong answer. So go ahead.
All jokers are played, unusually. Right, Debbie?
Yes.
What is Jamie's response to the Doctor hoping he had made the ropes secure?
The King of the Beasties himself couldn't get out of that one.
Kirby?
Master?
What does the Doctor say after Cleek falls for his dramatic Master of the World speech?
Now I know you're mad. It's just I wanted to make sure.
Bonus point. You got exactly word for word. Well done. Yes.
Well, that's all. That's one of my favorite lines. That's one of the... You know, I always have like 6 or 7 lines ready for my quote at the beginning, and that's one of those.
Yeah, that was one of mine as well.
Mary?
Yes?
What are Cleeg's last words?
Og.
That's it.
Not quite a word, though, is it?
I don't know.
Well, if you can carve it on a cave wall.
Right, anybody?
I think it's leave them to the Cybermen.
No.
Hmm.
Eventually,
I know, it's too late for the point.
The answer...
What, you're not going to let me say it?
Oh, go on then.
The Cybermen may have no use for you, or for parts of you.
It was, essentially, that was right, yeah. Right. Who had that last question? Originally.
Debbie,
right, no. So...
Debbie, okay.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What, according to the Doctor, is the best thing about a machine that makes sense?
You can make it turn out nonsense.
Yay.
And the final question goes to Mary.
I just thought I answered a question.
Did you? I don't know. You're going to have this one anyway.
Who asked me what Clegg's final words were?
Oh, I thought that was a question for Debbie. I messed this up.
Did you?
Uh-oh.
No, well, it doesn't matter. Not bothered. Who wants a question? Debbie, do you want this one?
Why?
Oh, we're free for all. Whatever. Free for all. Right. What is the Doctor's last line?
I don't like to make predictions.
Essentially, yes.
On the other hand, I never like to make predictions.
Yeah.
Yes, basically. So, last. Now, those questions were exactly the same questions and exactly the same order as the last time we did. You won't get this one on two of the Cybermen. So I'm very surprised Kirby didn't win that. I thought if anybody was going to win that quiz, it was going to be Kirby because they were exactly the same questions.
Do I have time to go back and listen?
Probably, yes.
To watch these
You're
things
that pedantic.
Over and over, what, four or five times, and to watch all the sixes.
That's different. Listening is a completely different experience than watching.
I can vouch for that.
Okay, final scores then.
Okay, Master.
Oh, good grief.
This means you better not do that with the next one that's a repeat, or we're all going to go back and do that.
Scores, no, everybody. Not. Scores. There's the scores. I should let the viewers see the scores first. There we go, before I read them out. The final scores. In last place with 6 points is Mary. In fourth place with 13 points is Matthew. Rather letting me down. In third place with 15 points is Debbie. Second place with 18 points is me.
Debbie,
and then the winner this week with 25 points, and the person I was originally going to go for if Matthew hadn't joined us, Kirby.
Nobody picked Kirby.
Nobody picked Kirby. Right, now it's time for Doctor Who News.
As I recall, Robert picked me a few days ago when he saw the picture of my piece of paper.
What's you on about?
Robert, my notes. I actually wrote down notes, see?
Yes, see?
That could well be a packet of Jelly Babies. It just sounds like paper being rustled.
Well, I posted a picture of the top of it with not showing what the notes said.
Okay, can I get on? Right, Doctor Who News. Right, the Restoration Team site update. The Doctor Who Restoration Team have updated their website to include details of the restoration work which took place on the final set of Doctor Who Classic Era DVD releases. Don't know whether that's very interesting or not. Who's fiddling? I can hear people fiddling. It sounds like Andy's on the Bloomin' Show. Right, we've had another passing of a celebrity in 2016.
Oh, no.
Gareth Thomas has passed away.
That's right.
He played Blake in Blake 7. Now, I got a bit of a shock because some donut posted a picture of Gareth Thomas, the rugby player, and said, Gareth Thomas, R.I.P. Somebody said, wrong Gareth Thomas, but never mind. This was,
I wouldn't have known.
This is Gareth Thomas. He was 71 years old. Very sad. What else we got here? The cover of Doctor Who magazine is very interesting. It's $4.98. It's a picture of David Tennant and Catherine Tate with the slogan, We're Back, on it. Ooh,
yes.
Isn't that exciting?
It's very exciting.
Ooh, do you, Master?
What?
You suppose they'll have a special issue for issue 500?
I don't know. Well, do you reckon we might be in that one? Never mind. Well, who won might be in it, so it's by proxy. We have some sort of connection.
Who won always has an ad in DWM.
Does it? Okay. That's news. Again, nothing much on the news front.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at now? Let's go. Shall we look through some of these daft threads? I wonder if I can look at them. Oh, it's set Debbie off. This must be funny.
It was Mary telling Robert off for not going to bed yet.
He didn't want to come on the show because he had to go to bed.
He's pretty much been on. He's been answering the question.
He's still posting responses.
I know.
Yeah.
Justin's not going to be pleased with him.
No.
We're going to have to force him to come on next time that he's up at this time of day.
Which most seems to be most of the Sundays we record.
I know.
Okay. I wish I could. I can actually go back to the thread on the 20 megabyte page. I want to read what there's been going with that, because the iPad is sort of
limited. It's been getting a bit odd.
Right. What?
Well, no more than usual, I suppose.
No, I'm not getting anything. Well, I've got. It says 50 comments so far. I have to click on one on the iPad. No, it won't let me read them.
Well, when I click, yeah, it starts playing back the live stream, which I don't want.
I do apologise.
On the podcasting live now. There we go.
I've got an itchy nose. There you go. Really itchy. Okay, all I can see is Alan T. Butcher saying, raising that are you? Because Robert swore. Jeff Waddlewell, that's better than a Sultana of Swing, because I hate Dire Straits. Robert Haynes, how many points do I get? Jeff Waddle, nil point. Robert Haynes, reverse points.
Well, Jeff Waddle,
shut up you. Jeff Waddle, black is black, I want my baby back. That's a song. What? Black is black, black. Ooh, I want my baby back. La Belle Epoque, I think, had that song in the 1970s. Robert Haynes, Jelly Baby. Then he says 25 for Kirby Bartlett Sloan. And then he says C. I don't know what that means. He's been counting the scores. He's been keeping up to date the scores to verify that I'm correct. Well done, Robert.
Well, maybe we should appoint him official scorekeeper.
I've got real bad wind at the moment. Jeff Water says Gareth Hunt, he's dead. Oh, Gareth Hunt?
Hunt.
I think he died a while back, actually, Gareth Hunt. And then Robert Haynes said, I said fork. Well, he said F sort of star what? Star K. I thought he swore. Sorry. Yeah, so I can't. Debbie Melrose joined. So nosy, Debbie. Butting in on a private conversation. Yes, I did fart. Robert, I've got wind. I did accept this. I have got wind. Shut up laughing. It's not funny. Can't remember. I had chili con carne for lunch. It was Marks and Spencer chili con carne for lunch. It was absolutely delicious. But unfortunately, it's left me with a bit of flatulence. Anyway.
I know you have a magazine called this, but don't you have this stuff called Beano?
What?
There's a stuff we can buy called Beano, which helps deal with flatulence from beans.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. But this use is very limited.
Fast away, it should be called.
You've got to take it before you start eating the beans, and can only use it if you like have one serving of beans. But if you keep eating, you know, you go on later that day and do more Beano and more beans, it won't be effective.
And see, I was always thinking either your magazine was named after the stuff, or you guys didn't know what the stuff was.
And on this week's 20 megabyte
podcast. Flatulence podcast, here we go.
I can't believe there's a product that does that.
The flatulence on the show is usually from Kirby drinking fizzy drinks during the episode.
Only in America.
Pardon me. Anyway, right. What?
So I'm still chortling at the idea of having to take something so you can eat some beans without tooting afterwards.
Sure, that can't be good for you. It is a natural bodily function. It must come out somehow. Anyway,
yeah, BeanoGas.com.
I don't know what farts are. I'm a girl.
Girls are the worst ones.
The website is BeanoGas.com.
How interesting, Kirby. Thank you for that.
Got Facebook page.
Right. We're going to go on to sponsors, weren't we? Right. No, we have some sponsors. We have Who1.co. I'm intrigued to see what Who One have got. I meant to go into Who One with one of my audio visual devices and do a live thing from there, but I haven't actually been to ride when they were open.
But so all you have to do is step out, go what, 20 paces, and you're
and
there.
Maybe so, but they're closed, Kirby. I'm talking about when they're open. Because normally when they're open,
you should get
it
when they're open.
What?
Maybe you should get a ticket to ride.
Anyway, whowon.co.uk have...
Is that whowon.co.uk?
The DWM Special 43 Special Effects magazine. These are the latest products. Shut up, sneezing.
Sorry. It was Mary.
Invasion by Ian Marta. It's a CD release. David Troughton reads exciting classic novelisation of the Second Doctor TV adventure with Cyber Voices by Nicholas Briggs. That'd be quite a good one. Like I said, DWM 498, which is with David Tennant and Catherine Tate on the cover. So if you not any sort of things you would say were sort of toys or treats, like the Who One number plate, the Bessie number plate, which I know that Billy Kerbyte's invested in. So because you don't have to play it on a region DVD or anything, and just buy it and stick it on your wall, or Australia might have some special things that you can stick on the front of your car or something like that. But yes, that is something I haven't got yet. And next time I'm in Who One, I do hope they have it. It's the Bessie number plate. It's only £5.99. What's that in dollars?
You keep about saying 10? That. You said that like last week too.
Well, it's because it's the same price, Kirby.
Well, I'm hoping to get over.
Well, buy it.
No, I haven't been there.
They never open when I go over.
Yeah, me neither. I'm always working. Aren't you working, Debbie?
Yeah, most of the time.
It's a retail establishment. We both work in retail establishments, which makes
pounding on their
microphone.
It's probably
Debbie.
It wasn't me. I haven't moved.
Oh, okay.
Might have been me. Sorry.
I don't know. I always get the blame when Andy's not on.
I'm going to have to go in a minute.
You can blame everything on Andy.
Quite a lot of flatulence to get rid of. Eighth Doctor Doom Coalition 2 by Nick Briggs. It looks like a series of Big Finish productions within a CD environment. £40. And You Will Obey Me, which is what Deb says to me every day. And that is a Fifth Doctor story by Alan Barnes, and that's a Big Finish production on the
CD. And it's the start of a new trilogy. They're doing three stories to mark the 45th anniversary of the Master being introduced in Terror of the Autons.
Oh, excellent. They've had some pre-orders on Big Finish CD. Legacy of Death, More Than This, Nightshade, Oblivion, Paradox Planet, there's a few Fourth Doctor stories in amongst that lot. And Peterloo Massacre, which is a Fifth Doctor story, and a book called Time of the Doctor by Stephen James Walker, and that's £16.99. That was quite interesting. It doesn't say what it's about, unfortunately. There you go. So that's whowon.co.uk. Debbie is now going to tell you about Lavazzi. Debbie is now going to tell you about Lavazzi because she has
I haven't actually pulled up the page.
Let me do the link then. If you let me do the link, that gives you time to get the page up. This is how podcasts work. Right, I'll do that again.
No, I know. It's taking a while, unfortunately.
Well, let me say it, then you can get on. And here's Debbie, who's going to be a future employee, of course, for Lavazzi. And who will now is the ideal person.
My favourite sponsors,
to,
by the way.
Shut up. To the ideal person to present this little feature on Lavazzi. It's Debbie Melrose.
Hello, everybody. Ah. This is the weekly Lavazzi love-in. Not much new to add to the Doctor Who range on Lavazzi, but there's still a lot of decent bits and bobs in sale. You've got the rather fabulous TARDIS umbrella that I've been ogling for a long time. But unfortunately, the Seventh Doctor umbrella is still out of stock. There are some reputable retailers out there.
What, Debbie? Do you mean this umbrella?
Yes, that umbrella. That wonderful umbrella there. It used to close the door.
Master?
Yes.
Master? Could you possibly oil your chair?
No, it's not in creaking for oiling. It's the springs in it. You can't oil springs, Herbie.
And of course there's Kirby's marvellous scarf.
Not Kirby's scarf.
It's also Alan T. Butcher's marvellous scarf.
Alan T. Butcher's scarf. And
I don't know if Alan actually got that scarf.
I'm still ogling the Pandorica Open TARDIS exploding scarf as well, just for anybody.
Good night, Robert. Sorry, Robert's saying good night.
Is this finally good night, Robert?
Well, that's what he says.
I doubt it very much.
Said it about six times.
I still want to know if Alan T. Butcher got his scarf.
He did.
He posted.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't get to see it. Sorry.
You mean you don't read every single post on your own Facebook page?
I work, Kirby. I have two jobs.
He posted a marvellous picture saying,
I didn't get to see it.
A couple of weeks ago.
I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, he even said he waited until he could post a picture to say thank you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I didn't get to see... Oh, for God's sake.
We love you.
Right. Have you finished with the Lavazzi bit?
Lavazzi loving? Yeah,
that's
over for now. I'm sure.
Shut up. Right, the other bit is... yes, of course, it's... audible.co.uk/20MB, that's 20MB, where if you use your common sense, get a free book. You go on there, you sign up for a 30-day free trial, you get a free book.
I have.
Shut up. Oh, you have, sorry.
Shut up.
Robert's still posting.
Good night.
After anyway, Mary's marvellous suggestion about...
So what book did you get then on this free book from Audible, Debbie?
Yep. I got Philosopher's Stone.
That's what I said I was going to get. You copycat.
No, it's just what I'm with either.
So, yes, Debbie had Philosopher's Stone on her free book. I suspect she'd probably give up her membership after 30 days. But if you don't, you get a free book or a book within your £7.99. Shut up! Your £7.99 subscription. You get a book every month and you can buy some other ones as well. It's a really good feature, isn't it, Debbie?
It's brilliant.
20 megabyte, as in Audible.
Stop
audible.co.uk/ 20 megabyte. Shut up, Kirby. Stop interrupting my feature on the sponsors. That's about it, really.
Yeah. He didn't really, did he?
What? Didn't really, did he what?
Interrupt.
Yes, he did.
If your last next sentence is, well, that's it, really.
It's my job to interrupt. That's what my contract says.
No, it isn't. You think it's your job to interrupt. No, it isn't. Anyway, right. I wanted to get something off the wall. I don't really think I've shown you this before, because being an audio presentation, showing you things doesn't really work.
Well, since I'm not watching it, how am I supposed to see it?
Tough. Right. This is a frame here that I have on my wall. Debbie will know this, because she's seen it a few times. But when I went to the Doctor Who celebration in 2013... I met some Colin Baker bloke, some Louise Jameson, Daphne Ashbrook, Nicola Bryant, and they signed this, which is rather cool.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
No, I like it.
So, yeah, closer to the picture. There
this
we
is
go.
Another boring thing, right?
Isn't it? So,
I don't know what it is. What is it?
It's a framed logo.
Cool.
Within it. Has autographs of some people special to the show, friends of the show, in fact.
Yay!
Daphne Ashbrook's case, I think she got upgraded from friend of the show. Because I remember before we leave the show, I seem to remember Andy Nanny ordering me to change things on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast website, which, if you're interested, is 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast .podbean.com. No, it's not. It's the, because only one of us, 20MB.2podcast.podcom.
The.
And if you
presumably
go to the,
you couldn't start with a number or what?
Shut up. at the top of that page there's home, about and credits. If you click on the credits link, you get the credits of everybody who has been regularly contributing to the show over the years, including some chap called Matthew Kressel. And further down the list, we have that categorise people as friends of the show, family members of the show, honorary 20 megabyters, and patron of the show. Of course, patron of the show, Toby Haydock, has been on there hundreds of times.
Hundreds? Really? If I were to go back through them all, I'd find him on hundreds of shows out of just a little over 300.
Kirby, what am I just about to say to you?
Shut up.
It's your own fault.
Kirby?
Master.
But I forgot to upgrade Colin Baker to friend of the show, because although he did the link for us, he wasn't. I should really.
And
He should be a friend of the show. He was on there. Hang on, let's have a look. I'm doing a list of friends of the show.
Bleep.
He's there. So he should be updated family member of the show now because it's his second appearance.
And if Matthew does his job this year, we'll get him on again.
Matthew?
As I have said before, a lot of it is down to the actors wanting to come on and do it, or whether they want to or not.
Just remind him of the 20 Megabyte podcast. Just remind him that I'll be meeting in October.
And tell him that it will be a bit more disciplined this time round.
Yes, because I'll be in
will it?
Apparently.
It'll be in a smaller room. That's going to help.
That's a kind word, undisciplined.
Hang on, did you say disciplined or undisciplined?
I said it would be more disciplined.
Thank you, Debbie.
Matthew, make sure that we're not in a large room. That was one of the biggest problems, I think.
I'll do my best. We should be in the panel room, which will be upstairs next to the viewing room.
Yeah, since we're in a new hotel, I have no idea what the rooms look like, so.
It'll work out.
But do you agree with me that part of our problem was the room was too big?
Well, I think it was that, but also we had to deal with the speaker setup so that everybody in the room could hear it, and I don't think that helped matters either. Of course, if we could be a bit more disciplined this time, I think it would help matters as well.
Nah.
Right then. Anyway, back to my credits page. I sometimes forget.
Where's this credits page?
Shut up, here. I'm trying to talk. I sometimes forget how funny I am. Here is a list of background noises on the podcast. Vanzavi Gandalf, Magic Pearson, because that's Magic's full name, Vanzavi Gandalf. Star Pearson, Deborah Pearson, The Clock, Alicia Pearson, Isla Melrose, Tom Melrose, Mary's Phone, Mary's Cats, Andy Snoring, and Zach Nunny.
Andy Snoring.
I miss The Clock.
Well, the clock's still here.
I look forward to The Clock.
Still there.
I meant to bring it into the room during the 300th episode, but I forgot.
Ever heard it on the Monday.
Hello, Clock.
Yeah.
Former presenters. This is an interesting one. Alicia Pearson, Ben Shoveler, Robert Haynes, Reese Parton, Matthew Kressel, Sandro Falco, and Roy Spearman. That's funny that he's on this show, so surely that makes him a current presenter.
Yeah. And Sandro was not really a presenter.
Yes, he was. He was on a couple of episodes. Shut up, Kirby.
He was on one episode.
He was on a couple.
One.
Well, Roy Spearman was on two. He was on two.
Yes, he was on two.
Yes.
And Sandro was only on one.
Oh, be quiet. If I decide he's a former presenter, he's a former presenter.
Recurring host.
Pardon?
Recurring host, like it.
Yeah.
regular contributors, Ian Kirk, Dr. Philip W. Cerner, Patrick Bishop, Billy Kirk, whatever happened to Patrick, he's too busy doing his own podcast, isn't he? Billy Kirkbright, Jeff Waddle, Alan Butcher, yes, Alan T. Butcher, Dawn Nunney and Jason Chuang. But now more regular ones appearing on this video thread, which I keep forgetting is on. Sorry.
We haven't heard any of Dell's drives in a long time.
No, he's probably been busy playing cellos and things. Friends of the show before.
Viola da Gamba.
Eh?
What? It's a viola da Gamba.
Thank you. Friends of
That's
the show.
That's what his doctorate is in.
Before I go, friends of the show are officially, in case I've forgotten anybody. Yeah, thank you, Alan. Alan T. Butcher just said T. and then he said, welcome to the Discipline podcast. Yes, it's always been that. Makes sense. Well, Jeff Waddle said, paint it black. I don't know who's talking about. Oh, the multicoloured bag is making my OCD go over. It's not a bag.
What is it?
It's Isabella's coat.
Have you heard about Isabella hugging Isla every morning when she's gone to school this week?
No.
It's very cute.
No, but I did tell her to look out for her.
Yeah, no, she's been really good. Thank you.
Right, friends of the show. Nicholas Briggs, Kenneth Kendall, now deceased. Louise Jameson, Fraser Hines, Toby Whithouse, Alistair Pearson, Andrew Smith, Caitlin Blackwood. What, see her again at some point? She looks so much like her cousin now she's grown up.
Hopefully we'll have her for more than 10 seconds.
Yeah, hopefully so.
I think we will.
15 seconds apparently, according to Matthew.
At least 25.
Ken Deep, Sebastian J. Brook, Wes Dewelman, Wendell Dewelman. Do you remember Wendell?
Wendell's a friend.
I do miss Wendell. Anita Liz McDonald, Jeffrey Berman, Graham Sheridan, Jeff Walker, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Lizo Mazumba, Simon Fisher-Becker, Nabil Shaban, Ellis George, Paul A.T. Wilson, Harry Medium, and Leeson Fisher. So if I missed anybody, what?
Your font changed after Simon Fisher-Becker.
You're so pedantic. So what? For God's sake. Ooh, the font changed. That means the word means a completely different meaning.
Well, be consistent.
That's not my fault. It's Podbeans. They didn't made the previous font unavailable. When I tried to consistentize the rest of it, it wouldn't let me. So
they changed the others to them.
That's what I tried to do, Mr. Pedantic. Yes, I tried to do that. It wouldn't let me. So shut your face. Right then, I'm going to go now because I'm going to... Oh, my thing's just gone.
Ooh.
Facebook is just shut down again. So I'm going to leave it at that. Anyway.
Sorry, yes. Facebook has had enough of our nonsense.
Yes.
I was going to say.
Right, what's next week? Matthew, what's next week? Isn't it the Abominable Snowmen or something
snowmen,
like that?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's a six-parter to try and get through.
Master, this is going to be interesting because this will be my third attempt to get through it. I have been unsuccessful.
I didn't
twice.
Find the audio too bad, so I'm quite interested to see what it's going to be like with pictures. And that's next week, next Sunday, the 24th of April.
We're doing Sunday again?
Well, yeah. Wouldn't you want to do
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
For six episodes, oh dear.
Yes, okay. Sunday.
And I have to fit in watching, in the next 2 weeks, I have to fit in watching Hand of Fear because I'm going to be a guest on the Earth Station Who podcast.
Well, that's not my fault.
Hand of Fear is great. Just listen to the podcast we did.
Yeah.
I was just on there a couple of weeks ago talking about the Ambassadors of Death.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't take a Seventh Doctor one.
Well, we went through a bit of a list, and everything I kept saying they had already done, and I think we eventually got to one that they hadn't done.
They told me how to search on their website to figure out one, and I first thing I searched for was Hand of Fear, because it's when they have a guest like us, they let us pick if possible.
Yeah, it looked like it wasn't going to be possible with me, because I think we went through about five or six things.
Anyway. Thanks for listening to the show. See you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
It's quite funny that Kobe couldn't remember his sign-off the other week.
I have it on a post-it that's taped my desk.
But we're doing Troughton stories at the moment. It's a Troughton quote and you couldn't remember it. That's quite funny. Right, I think we've got that picture back up.
The thing is that maybe that was during our live podcast, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, but it's not.
Okay, yeah, that's why, because I wasn't at my desk. But now I wrote it on the little sticker, which is on my laptop, that has the specs of the laptop, so.
Okay, anyway, I'm going to go now, because I've just had a query from a potential customer for next year. And the date's available, so I need to get this booked.
But are you sure that it's not a date that we need you?
I don't care.
I feel so loved.
Oh, we love you, Matthew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been lovely having you on.
It's a shame you can't be bothered to come on more often, but we do love you.
Well, I am kind of busy these days.
So am I. I haven't got two jobs or anything.
I find time.
That can be easier said than done
sometimes. Yes, okay. Well, thank you for coming on this time, and make sure you're here next week, same time. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Bye. I'll do my best. I haven't seen the Abominable Snowmen in a while.
Podcast is an avvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.